Adventurer Mark Jenkins of Laramie gets assignments all over the world for National Geographic, the magazine he writes for. Now, he's one-upped himself.
And that cave turned out to be the largest cave in the world.
I met with Jenkins in his gear room, a very orderly nook in the basement of his house, stacked with well-labeled bins full of outdoor equipment. It's here that all his adventures begin.
Well, here's all ski boots, helmets, all my climbing shoes, all my climbing pitons, so forth. Then over here, all the row of ice axes, snowshoes. This is all foam pads, different weights for different types of expeditions. Probably a dozen tents. The number one thing for all caving is to have a strong headlamp. And here's a helmet. You can see it's quite strong. You never go into a cave without at least three headlamps, because if you lose your light, you lose your life. When we talk about the biggest cave in the world, we're talking about kind of the diameter of the tunnel, basically. And so Vietnam has some of these really thick layers of limestone, and that's where caves form. It's basically the rainwater turns to carbonic acid as it passes through the soil and starts to dissolve limestone, and that's how you get caves. But when we saw the entrance, I mean, the entrance was 200 feet tall. So I was suddenly like, oh my God, you could fly a plane into this cave. Howard Limbert and his wife Deb, this was their 14th expedition to Vietnam. They started caving in Vietnam in the 1990s, and they had enormous experience. In fact, they'd hired locals to start looking, spending the whole year. They paid them to search for caves because they knew that they were in a region where the likelihood of finding the largest cave in the world was very high. Howard and Deb had realized the geology of Vietnam for many years when they were young, but they didn't start exploring until, I think, 91 was their first expedition. And on that expedition, they found Ho Khan, because they were looking for locals who understood the topography. They found Ho Khan, and subsequently, he was on every expedition with them. Over 500,000 civilians were killed by our bombing campaigns in central northern Vietnam and in Laos, 500,000. This comes back to Ho Khan because his father was killed in one of those bombing raids, and so he would hide out in the caves. And as he grew up, he started just living off the land, some rice farming, often hunting, and in so doing, he started exploring this whole region, and he became an expert in this little region of Vietnam where these massive caves exist. And he knew there was an entrance to a very big cave because he'd hidden there during a bombing raid, and he remembered it as a boy. And he said, no, this cave was enormous. And so Howard basically said, okay, I'll pay you. Just start looking. And so he spent the entire year, Ho Khan, by himself, tramping through the mountains. That's how this expedition started. There's always light somewhere, right? You have starlight, or you have moonlight, or you have a headlamp, or something like that. But when you're in a cave, you can put your hand as close as you want to your eyeballs, and you can't see a thing. I mean, it's a different kind. It's an otherworldly kind of darkness. You don't know you're in this big a cave until the photographer, he'll have 10 or 12 people with all having flashes, and they're synced. And then when he pushes a button, all the lights come on, and for about a quarter of a second, you get to see how big the cave is, and then it goes dark again. Partway into this cave, the cave had collapsed, and there was daylight. It was like a skylight, daylight coming down into the cave. And I was so happy. We'd been in the cave a couple, 3 days, and I was like, yes, sunshine, you know, coming from Wyoming. And so I put my tent right where the sun would come, when it was right overhead, go straight down. And those guys, they just kept moving through the cave, and they put their tents as far in the darkness as they could because they like darkness. They're moles. They're human moles. So we're going along, and then we come across this light, which was totally unexpected. Turns out it's just a hole in the cave, a skylight. You've got 50-foot-high trees. You've got monkeys, birds, bats. You've got an entire micro environment inside the cave. In fact, in Hong Song Dong, that's the name of the biggest cave in the world, the one we were exploring, we encountered a 200-foot wall. They called this the Great Wall of Vietnam. It was travertine, which is kind of this mix of mud and calcite. And so it took us 2.5 days to surmount that wall. So we did some very real, what was called aid climbing, where you're actually hanging on your equipment. And eventually this cave actually comes out because of the form of the earth. The cave kind of goes through the mountain. And actually, when we got to the top, we saw some more light. We thought, oh, so what's the deal? Either there's another collapse in the cave, or that's the end of the cave. That's the actual exit. And it was only a couple of miles, and it turned out to be the exit. For me, there was a combination of exhilaration and relief. Those guys, two of them decided to stay. And so they stayed and explored some other caves. I had to write the story, so I had to come home. Shucks.